Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. Listen each week for updated content and be sure to share with your friends. We hope this podcast is a blessing and a resource to you as you pursue God daily.
What a great day to be in church. I know that there are probably plans that you have to gather with family and friends. Some of you may be eating crawfish. And if you're eating crawfish today, we're praying for your pocketbook because it's expensive. But I want to do my best to feed you from the scriptures today. I want to nourish your soul. Today's going to be rich in God's word. And I thought probably one of the best ways to introduce our topic today, I want to give you the Easter story, and I don't want to just tell it to you. I want to show it to you. I want you not to just hear it, but I want you to see it. You know, one of my favorite gifts, there's a couple in this church named Mike and Terry, and several months ago, they gave Rachel and I one of the best gifts that we have ever received. It's a digital picture frame. Have you heard of those? Have you seen those? Man, I guess I'm getting old. I'm in my 50s, 50 and still looking nifty. Come on, somebody. But I love it. Of all the things in our house, that digital picture frame, it's my favorite. Did you know you can take photos from your phone and you can upload it to that digital frame and it just scrolls all day long? How many of you love to take pictures? Oh yeah, how many plan on taking pictures today? How many of you don't like pictures? You got to approve every picture before it is posted. You know who you are. You know who you are. Anybody have like over 1,000 pictures on their cell phone? Anybody have over 2,000 on their cell phone? Anybody got more than 4,000? What is wrong with you people? Listen, I have over 8,000 on my cell phone. But Rachel told me last night she's got 21,000. Come on, somebody. It's something about a picture. You know, they say picture will paint 1,000 words. And so I sit there and watch this digital frame. It just scrolls through the photo album of our family. I mean, some of the silliest moments are captured on that digital frame. Some of the special moments, some of the most sacred moments. We look at ball games that we've been to, or weddings, or you know, holidays, or trips that we've taken. We'll look at the kids and be like, look at how little they were. Look at little T-Rev, man, he's just so tiny, tiny Trevor, man, he's grown so much. And then I look at myself, I say, man, look at how little I was back then. That was 40 pounds ago. And you know, but a picture will capture a moment and will tell a story. And today, I want you not to just hear, but I want you to see through pictures the greatest story that's ever happened in human history. You'll notice on the digital wall behind me, there's some pictures. And that E-A-S-T-E-R, there are pictures embedded in the Easter story. And I want to use those pictures to frame, if you will, this is kind of a time hop of 2,000 years ago to tell us of the love and the life of Jesus. In fact, I want to kind of pair those pictures. I want to take the first two pics and I want to tell you about the life of Jesus. And then the second two pictures will tell us about the death of Jesus. And then the final two pictures will speak of his resurrection. That's just the basic gospel message in picture form. So look with me, please, in Matthew chapter 3. Let's talk about the dove. And then we'll look at the branch as we investigate the life of Jesus. Really, the dove and the branch are the bookends of the ministry of Jesus. It's how he started and how he finished. The dove, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says this, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Somebody say a dove. And that dove settled upon him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. Can you say amen? Amen. This is a great picture. This is a familiar picture to some of you. In fact, one of my favorite things about this particular snapshot is you can see the fullness of the Godhead. You see God the Father, you see God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all within the same frame. Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came and rested upon him, and then God spoke and made an announcement. God gives a declaration. He wanted the whole world to know, this is my son. That's identification. Do you know so many people struggle with their identity today? God wanted to make it very clear. This is my son. Before Jesus had ever preached a sermon, before he ever performed a miracle, he never opened a blinded eye or fed 5,000 yet. This was before he even started, and God said, this is my son. Do you know how many people walk around not knowing who they are? Because they don't know whose they are. You see, when you know who you belong to, when you know who designed you, then you know who defined you. Come on, somebody. I think we live in a culture where people are in chaos and confusion. They don't know who they are because they don't know whose they are. And God said, this is my son, the one that I love. In him, I am well pleased. That's identification, that's affirmation, and that's validation. Do you know you can walk in confidence when you know who you are because of who you belong to? Listen, you are not defined by what's happened to you. You are not defined by what someone says about you. Your circumstances do not place value on you. God says you are his. Oh, this is good news today. I love it because on the outset of Jesus's ministry, he would have to stay true to his mission based on who he belonged to. Oh, this is so good. So good. And then the scripture says that the spirit of the dove, the Holy Spirit came to rest upon Jesus. Do you know that you and I need the help of the Holy Spirit? We need the help of the Holy Ghost. Can you say, oh yeah? How many of you need help in your marriage? You need the help of the Holy Spirit. Some of you are not raising your hand, but you need to raise it right now. Anybody need the help of the Holy Ghost raising kids? Some of you need to raise both hands. Come on. How many need the Holy Spirit's help in paying some bills? Both hands and a leg on that one. You know, the enemy of your soul wants you to think that you have to do this in your own strength. But God reminds us it's not by our might, it's not by our power, but it's by his Spirit. Come on, somebody. Say, help me, Holy Spirit. We need his help in making decisions. We need his help at our work and at our school. We need his help in relationships. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. And I think this picture frames it up well. We can know who we are because we know whose we are. And then the power of the Holy Spirit rests upon us. I've got a confession to make. There's something interesting about all of this. We begin to see ourselves in the picture and the journey of Christ. And if we pattern our lives after him, we can walk in the power and the blessing that Jesus died to give us. The dove represents the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's move to the branch, okay? Let's move to the palm branch. And this is familiar as well because last Sunday was Palm Sunday. And we know what happened as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey that day. The Bible says something about palm branches that lined the streets. Check this out, Matthew 21, verse 8. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road as well. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him, they were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Can you say amen? Amen. Now this is a great picture too. We see the triumphal entry of Jesus now. This is a week before he were to go to Calvary. He's riding into Jerusalem in this victory parade. In fact, if you know biblical history, you'll understand that the palm branch was symbolic of victory. It was a sign of victory. We have won. This crowd pinned their hopes on Jesus to ride into Jerusalem and to set them free from their oppressors. Now, if I can press pause on the story for just a moment, let's rewind to the Old Testament. when God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. They were slaves for 400 years. And through Moses, God parted the Red Sea and brought them into a place of freedom. There's this feast called the Feast of Tabernacles. And God commanded them to celebrate this festival to commemorate their Exodus. And what they did is they lived in temporary shelters made of palm branches. That palm branch was victory. It was a symbol of victory over their enemies. Egypt would no longer oppress them. Though they were living in the wilderness, they were free from their oppressors. And I wonder, watch this, I wonder if in Jerusalem that Palm Sunday, they waved the palm branches, and just as God had delivered their ancestors from Egypt, they wanted Jesus to deliver them now from the Romans. They're Roman oppressors. Free us from the oppression that's around us. Only they didn't understand that Jesus' assignment was far greater than political freedom, far greater than natural freedom. There was spiritual freedom that Jesus was wanting to bring to the people, but they didn't understand it. They said, Moses delivered us from Egypt. Now, Jesus, would you deliver us from Rome? And here's the thing, Jesus died at the very hands of the Romans. But he died to give them a freedom that was far greater than they can imagine. You know, the truth is, I can see myself even in this frame, because there was pressure on Jesus. There was a certain expectation to please the crowd. Can I tell you this? If you live your life to please people, you will be miserable. Confession from your pastor: I am a recovering people pleaser. I have struggled with this my whole life. I just want people to be happy with me, and I want them to be pleased, and I want everybody to get along. I want to be the pastor that loves everybody and the pastor that everybody loves. How many of you know that's a fairy tale right there? And if Jesus, hey, I feel the love. Thank you. I feel the love. I feel it. If Jesus would have lived to the expectations of the people, he would not have fulfilled his mission. Can I tell you this? You may have to defiantly disappoint some people in order to be pleasing to the Lord. You can't play to the crowd. How many of you know crowds are fickle? Man, we can't play popularity polls. Man, we've got to live for an audience of one. And if I'm living to please Jesus, if I have the smile of heaven, then the frowns of the crowd don't matter. Come on, can somebody say amen? Here's why, because, you know, that Sunday, Palm Sunday, they're waving palm branches, free us from the Romans. But 5 days later, they will trade that branch of palms for a branch of thorns. Let's move into the death of Jesus. Crowds are fickle. It's amazing what 5 days will flip on its end. Let's look at this crown of thorns as we examine the death of Jesus. He moves into these final moments here on earth. This is Good Friday. This is Passover. And after he had been beaten, the prophet Isaiah said that he was beaten so badly that you couldn't even recognize him. The scriptures tell us in Matthew 27, verse 28, they stripped him. And they put a scarlet robe upon him. They wove thorn branches into a crown, and they put it on his head. They placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery, and they taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews." I want you to consider this picture now, this frame, this moment in the story of Easter, where Jesus, an innocent man, had never done anything wrong, had only been obedient to the Father and had served suffering humanity. And the Bible says they weave a crown of thorns and they press it upon his head. History tells us that the length of those thorns were maybe 6 or 7 inches long. And as they pressed that upon his brow, I begin to think of the tender forehead of Jesus. Thought about how many times his mama kissed him on the forehead as a boy growing up. The days that Jesus may have been sick and running fever. And Mary says, "Come here, boy, let me kiss you and see if you're feeling any better." Maybe she patted him on that forehead. That tender brow of Jesus was now being pierced with a crown of thorns. You know what's interesting about thorns? You know where they came from? They came from the curse in the Garden of Eden. Consider this. Oh, I love how God is connecting pictures. Now watch this. This is the story behind the story. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, there was a curse that came upon the earth. And the Bible says that thorns and thistles now, the ground was cursed because of the introduction of sin. It's almost as if Jesus became a curse so that you and I could be blessed. There's something about the curse being reversed in this moment. I think about in Genesis 22, when God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac on the top of Mount Moriah, and he laid that boy's body on the altar. The Bible says he raised the knife, and all of a sudden God said, whoa, 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 hold up, Abraham. Look in that thorn bush next to you. Come on, we're talking about thorns now. Caught in the thicket was a ram. A substitute who would take Isaac's place. Oh, this is so good, y'all. See, these Roman soldiers, out of mockery, were taunting Jesus, but they didn't realize they were confirming his identity and who he really was. That Jesus would wear a crown of thorns because one day you and I could wear a crown of life. There was an exchange that was taking place in his suffering. Consider this, the pain in his head. I thought about mental health. I thought about how important mental health is today. I thought about the agony that Jesus experienced in his head. And I thought about the battles that we fight today. Some of you have walked through your own season of anxiety, of depression, of insecurity, of fear. Where does the devil attack us? He attacks, the battle is right here in the mind. And the Lord, on this Good Friday, I wonder why we call it good. It wasn't good for him, but it was tremendous for us. On this Good Friday, as that crown of thorns is being pressed upon his head, he's providing healing for all of us from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. Can you say amen? They press that crown of thorns upon his head. The Bible says he begins to carry his cross down the Via Dolorosa. I've walked that road in Jerusalem. He walks through the marketplace. This thing didn't happen in some tiny corner hidden off to the side. Through the marketplace, he carries his cross. Via Dolorosa is the way of suffering. And the Bible says in John chapter 19, then Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus away, carrying the cross by himself. He went to the place called the place of the skull. In Hebrew, it's known as Golgotha. There they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side with Jesus in between. You see, we, 2,000 years later, we talk about the cross, and sometimes it's easy to distance ourselves from the pain associated with it. We wear necklaces that have crosses on them. We have decorative pieces in our homes. You know, it's easy to see it simply as an emblem, but I want you to know the cross was a place of torture. The Romans had perfected this thing called crucifixion. In fact, if you've ever been in severe pain, sometimes we refer to it as excruciating. The word excruciating is the same root word for crucifixion. And they strung Jesus up on that rugged tree. Again, let's connect some pictures in the scripture. Sin entered into the world in the Garden of Eden through a tree. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam and Eve, they ate of that tree, and sin then condemned them. But it was another tree that sets us free. This is the curse being reversed. The power of sin was broken on the tree called Calvary. Let me ask you this, which tree are you living from? Don't live from the tree that keeps you bound. Jesus laid down his life on a tree that can set you free and heal you everywhere you hurt. You see, the love that led Jesus to the cross was infinitely more power than the hatred that nailed him there. There were people that wanted to do away with this man and to end his message. They didn't know that killing this man would only spread the message. And 2,000 years later, we would gather in churches all over the country, all over the world, to lift up this message of salvation and hope because of the cross. Come on, put your hands together today. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. If you want to know what God values, look no further than the cross of Jesus Christ. That cross sets value on you and on me. You may feel worthless. You may feel helpless. You may feel hopeless, but that cross says otherwise. You see, on Passover, God told Moses to take the blood of a lamb and to put it upon the doorpost of the house as a sign. And he says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Jesus became the Passover lamb. Jesus took your place. He took my place. I can't go through Easter and not think about my papa. My papa, he's since died and going to be with Jesus, but his story is remarkable. At 26 years of age, he was living in McAllen, Texas, him and my Mimi, living down there on the border, and he was a wild man. He loved to party. He loved women. He loved alcohol. And he was partying one night and way out way too late, doing things he shouldn't be doing, him and a friend. And they got their car to go home. My pawpaw was driving. He couldn't even keep his eyes open. So pulled over on the side of the road and asked his best friend to finish the drive. Hey, can you take us home? So they switched seats. And it wasn't long after that, they got in a head-on collision. And my pawpaw's best friend died upon impact. And my pawpaw felt such guilt. He felt responsible. He carried that with him for weeks and just didn't know how to process. That should have been me. He felt it was my decision to switch seats. It was my poor choices that put us in that situation. And so he went from bad to worse. And I talked to my mom about this last night. And she said that on a Saturday night, he had got home and he was drunk. And he walked in the house and my Mimi was on her knees praying. And she was calling out to God. I want to tell you, God hears the power of a praying mama and a praying grandma. I don't know who you're praying for or believing God for, but don't stop praying. And he walked in the house that night, and my mom, my Mimi, begged him. She said, tomorrow we got to be in church. We got to go to church. And that was Easter Sunday of 1948. And so he went to church for the first time on Easter Sunday down in McAllen, Texas. Went to a little small four-square church, sat in the back, heard the pastor preach a sermon about a man who took our place. He thought about his friend. All of a sudden now the dots are being connected and it made sense to my papa that God was merciful to him and Jesus died in his place. So he walked from the back of that church to the front and he made a public profession of his faith. He gave his heart and life to Jesus and it not only changed him, but it changed his family for generations. Now my mama's serving God. I'm serving God. My kids are serving God. Listen, the Lord wants to save you, not just for you. Come on, somebody. It's the cross. Let's never get away from the cross. I know we can be cool and creative and compelling and all this progressive stuff, but it's still the old rugged cross. I cling to the old rugged cross. Oh, I thank God for the blood that was shed on Calvary. This is a church that believes in the bloodstained banner of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The cross is a place where Jesus destroyed all the things that would one day try to destroy us. Jesus hung on that tree and he said, it is finished. Now notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, I am finished. He said, it's finished. You know what that means in the Greek? It's this word called tetelestai. And tetelestai translated means simply this, paid in full. The debt that your sin and my sin created, we owed it but could never pay it. Jesus paid it, but he didn't owe a thing. He wrote it in blood, paid in full. It is accomplished. It's finished. The cross Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb because he didn't plan on staying there too long. Let's talk about this stone. Look at what the scripture says in John chapter 20. We've talked about his life and his death. Now let's get to the good stuff. Let's talk about his resurrection. John chapter 20, verse 1, the scripture says this: early on Sunday morning, somebody say early. See, listen, Friday was dark, Saturday was silent, but Sunday changed everything. Early on Sunday morning, the Bible says, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. Can somebody help me today? Now, I want you to consider this. In some of these final moments of the Easter story, the Bible says that there's this is a significant piece of history where at this moment in time, only one person knew the good news that Jesus was alive. Think about it. The disciples didn't know. You say, wait a second, I thought the disciples told the world. What? The disciples at this point are cowards. They're fearful. They're hiding locked behind closed doors. Jesus had been crucified, and they thought, well, they're after us next. And here comes Mary Magdalene. I love this woman. There's something significant about Mary going to the tomb that day. In fact, all four gospel writers are unanimous as Mary being the primary witness of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And there she shows up, and she's going there to anoint the body of Jesus. She knows that there's a huge stone that will impede her progress, but she goes anyway. I wonder if some of you have big obstacles in your life. Don't let that deter you. Go anyway. Go by faith. Listen, I've been to the Holy Land, and I've been at the garden tomb that scholars say Jesus was buried in. And if they're accurate, and that's true, the entrance to that tomb is maybe 4 or 5 feet tall. And it would take a stone about 6 feet in diameter to seal that entrance up. And if that stone is 6 feet in diameter and only 2 inches thick, it would weigh 3,000 to 4,000 pounds. What would little old Mary Magdalene do to move that stone? She couldn't do anything in her own strength, but guess what? She got to the tomb that day, and the Bible says the stone was rolled away. Now, in the Greek, it doesn't mean just kind of pushed to the side. It was so far away from the tomb that something supernatural had to happen. And I want you to know today, church, that God's still moving stones. He's moving stones of depression, stones of guilt. He's moving stones of rejection, stones of pain. I don't know what your failure or challenge is. That stone may be bigger than you, but it's not bigger than your God. And that stone was rolled away. Listen, and it wasn't to let Jesus out, but that stone was rolled away to let you and me in. It's so that we could see he's not here, but he is risen. The story is true. Mary Magdalene, she's got this revelation. She's got to tell somebody. You say, well, Peter and John raced to the tomb and all they saw was dirty laundry. But Mary Magdalene, she saw an angel. This is at a time when the testimony of a woman was invalid. It wasn't even admissible into court. And yet God chose Mary to be the first evangelist of the resurrection, to let the disciples know, and ultimately to let the whole world know that Jesus is alive. And I want you to know that resurrection means the worst thing is never the last thing. Did you hear that? Resurrection means, I don't know, maybe you're in the worst season of your life. Resurrection tells you there's another chapter waiting to be written. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare quit. Don't stop now. God's still moving stones. And that tomb was empty. Watch this, watch this. So that our hearts could be full. There's not an empty space or an empty place that God can't fill. Because Jesus lives. The final picture as we frame this Easter story, it's the cloud. What does that mean? What are we talking about when it comes to the cloud? The scripture tells us in Mark 16, verse 19, when the Lord Jesus had finished speaking with them, he was taken up into heaven. And he was seated in the place of honor at God's right hand. Hear me. This world is not our home. And I'm so glad because it's filled with pain. It's filled with hurt. It's filled with heartache. You can feel the curse that still rests upon the earth. But Jesus rose again to reverse all of it. And he was reminding us, don't just live for what you see. There is an unseen realm. Oh, listen, brother. Listen, sister. Believe. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. The cloud represents a place that God is preparing for us. So lift up your eyes. Lift up your focus. Don't just live for today. Don't just chase what the world says is important. That's a race that has no finish line. Come on, talk to me. You'll be chasing after a position or a certain amount of money or a relationship or a feeling. You're going to be running for the rest of your life. I've tasted of this world and it's never satisfied me. But there's coming a day. Are you ready for that day? Maybe the one missing picture to this digital frame of Easter is you. It's your face. It's your heart. It's your decisions. It's your life. What will you do with what you've seen? What will you do with what you've heard? This is the photo album of the family of God. Are you in it? Are you in it? You can be today. All it takes is saying yes to Jesus. It's saying, Lord, come into my heart. Wash me. Cleanse me. Heal me. Forgive me. God, I can't. It's not by my might or power, but Lord, I need the help of the Holy Spirit. Would you enter my life and make all things new? Come on, do you receive that today, church? Put your hands together if you believe that.
Thank you for listening. Take a moment and subscribe so you can become a part of the community here and stay up to date with what is happening at Healing Place Church. For more information about HPC, visit healingplacechurch.org.